throat. The man dropped as a river of blood poured out of his wound, and his eyes searched upward, looking for something. An answer, maybe. The soldier lunged and impaled a man on his sword, running him cleanly through, until the red-stained blade came out the other side. He jerked it out again, but his victim wasn't dead. The man lurched forward with a knife in his hand, and the soldier hacked at his arm. The heavy sword bit deeply, and something cracked. The soldier had a hard time pulling his blade free. When he did, blood sprang up like the world had spun upside down, catching in the wind and bursting in a red spray. I didn't realize I was crying until Adria put her arms around my shoulders, hugging me from behind. And when I felt a shudder, it wasn't her. The soldier left the man to fall to his knees in his own blood and moved on to his next victim. This man had two knives, and he was fighting valiantly. He was fast, but his back was turned, and he didn't see the soldier coming. The man turned, and my heart stopped. No matter how little I had seen it in recent years, I would never fail to recognize my brother's face. "Rian!" I screamed before I could help it. "Rian! Rian! Rian!" Zeph whipped around and covered my mouth. I didn't feel the threads this time. It was too fast, like a tide swamping me, and my love for my brother, my fear at seeing him threatened, took over. I curled my fist, and the dirt of the road sprang up, whipping around Rian to slam into the soldier. More and more dirt and rocks and mud welled up like a wave. And in seconds, the soldier was flat on his back, like he had been buried in the middle of the road. Rian stopped for one moment and met my eyes. And then he turned back and kept fighting. The rush of power left me, and the last thing I was aware of was hands or arms or something trying to hold me upright and failing. Dragon of the Desert.
My queen.
Waking felt the way a chick in a shell must. There was a world outside I was aware of, but I saw only darkness until I could pierce through.
My queen.
Zeph's voice helped. I blinked and the world was moving sideways. It took me a moment to realize he was carrying me and we were moving, but the effect on my stomach was the same. "Please put me down," I begged him, and he obeyed. Falling to my knees, I vomited into grass on the side of the road. Adria caught my hair and twisted it away, and I saw her pale, tear-stained face. We were close to the beginning of the royal causeway. I tried to stand, but my stomach wrenched again, and I fell down, vomiting and shaking. When I was done, I leaned against her, and to my shock, she put her arms around me.
"My queen,"
Zeph said, not finishing his sentence. I nodded, using his hand to struggle to my feet. "Yes. Where's Theron?"
"He didn't come back,"
Zeph told me. My breath caught.
"Yet, my queen, we must get you to the castle."
"Only if you go back to look for him the second we arrive," I said.
"I can't leave you unattended, my lady."
"For Theron, you can," I told him.
"Let's get you back and we'll discuss it. May I carry you?"
he asked. Shaking my head, I walked. Adria to one side and Zeph to the other. I felt dizzy, though, and incredibly weak. And within a few steps, Zeph picked me up anyway and started striding so fast, Adria nearly had to run to keep up. For once, she didn't complain. The closed gate opened for us and snapped shut behind us again. Adria stopped in the courtyard, but Zeph kept going, walking fast to my chambers. He shouted for someone to fetch Kairos.
"There are few men I trust to watch over you,"
he said.
"Your brother is certainly one."
With a sigh, I nodded. and in moments I was back in my room, laid upon my bed. A fleet of Ishru came in, wetting cloths in cool water, and wiping my face and neck and hands. Zeph turned away as they opened my robes to check if I was cut or bleeding. They covered me up, and moments later Kairos arrived, rushing to me. I heard Osmost shrieking outside.
"Go,"
Kairos told Zeph.
"I know why you called me."
Zeph nodded sharply and left, and Kairos sat on the bed, taking my hand. The moment the door closed, I gripped it. "Kai, Rian, Rian was there. You have to make sure he's not hurt." He shook his head.
"No, not now. I have to stay right here with you and watch over my niece, since you're clearly not thinking of her."
I put my free hand on my stomach, staring at the ceiling, trying to breathe evenly. "We were caught in some kind of skirmish, and Zeph pulled us to the side." Kairos squeezed my hand, and it made my mouth tremble. "They killed so many people, Kai," I whispered. "There was so much blood. And then Rian was just... And they were going to..." I couldn't take a deep breath, couldn't breathe properly at all. And Kairos pulled me up, sliding me closer and hugging me tight. He rubbed my back and held me, whispering to me.
"Hush, sister. Hush, you can't upset yourself like this. You have to calm down and protect that sweet girl in there,"
he told me. Hiccuping and taking a stunted breath, I asked, "You think my child's a girl?" He nodded against my head.
"A tiny little princess."
"Is this a sense, or are you making this up?" I asked him.
"A little of both," he said,
and I heard the smile in his voice. "I used my power," I whispered to him. "I didn't mean to. Someone was going to kill Rian, and it just... happened." He pulled back a little, meeting my eyes, dark and serious.
"Don't ever tell anyone that, Shai."
"I know."
"No," he said, shaking his head. "You don't. Something isn't right. Something awful is going to happen, and I can't see it. But I feel like your husband will do it, and I feel like you will pay the price. And whatever it is, it's... awful. Unimaginable."
Shivers of cold ran over me. "What kind of awful?"
"I don't know,"
he said, his mouth tilting up.
"Unimaginable means I can't quite picture it."
I touched my head to his, wishing he could share the vision, or feeling, or sense, or whatever it was, with me. "We'll be all right, Kai. We're together. We'll be fine." He hugged me tight.
"I hope so, Shai."
I drifted off after a while, gripping Kairos's hand in mine, and I woke when he tried to pry it away.
"I'm not going anywhere,"
he snapped. But the words weren't for me, and my heart sped up. Sitting up quickly, I felt dizzy, but still stood from the bed. There were soldiers in the bedroom, and Calyx was with them, and Zeph and Theron were nowhere to be seen.
"Seize him, then,"
Calyx ordered the soldiers, and I grabbed Kai's arm as the men in black uniforms came toward us. "Calyx, no! What are you doing?" I screamed. They grabbed Kai, but they wouldn't touch me, wouldn't separate us. Calyx stormed up to us and pried my hands off him until I cried out, pushing me back so I stumbled and fell.
"Don't touch her!"
Kairos roared, throwing off one of his captors and punching another. They cracked the sword hilt over his head. "No!" I shrieked, struggling to my feet. "What are you doing?" I tried to run past Calyx, but he raised his arm and cracked the back of his hand squarely across my face. The blow was blinding, so hard and fast that I was on the floor without remembering how I got there. Pain bursting over my face. Blood dripped onto the floor, and I wasn't sure where it was from. Everything had stopped. The only thing I could hear was Calyx breathing hard, his face in a snarl as he looked down at me. Kairos had stopped fighting, but he had murder in his eyes, staring at my husband.
You disloyal desert bitch!
Calyx spat.
You know what we found when we chased down the information we collected? Rian de Dragon. Little wonder you didn't want me to act on it. You thought you could trick me?
He growled. He stared at me, cowering at his feet, and then turned to look at Kairos.
You and Kairos must have been in league with Rian this entire time, going behind my back, feeding him information. You both will tell me everything you know of the Resistance. Take him and question him,
he ordered.
Make no mistake,
Kairos said, his voice a dark and deadly snarl.
I will repay every wrong you inflict on my sister. I am a dragon of the desert, and nothing will slake my thirst for vengeance.
I'm fine, Kairos, I lied, shaking to say it. I'm fine. Please, just go with them. Kairos didn't even acknowledge my words, and I pushed him out of my chamber. Calyx paced, and I shifted slowly to curl against the wall, still huddled on the ground.
You saw him,
he accused.
You had to know he was here.
I shook my head. You promised me, I told him. You promised me you wouldn't hurt our people. You were executing them in the streets.
I lied, he said, and I'm glad I did. Now we will see what else you're deceiving me about,
he said, grabbing my chin and forcing me to look at him. I pulled away from him, shrinking in a tight ball, protecting my head with my knees. Have you lost your mind? Danae's voice was clear, and I knew it was her, but I didn't raise my head.
Her brother,
Calyx started. Did you hit her? Danae asked, and the voice sounded closer. You struck the mother of your child? Your wife?
She betrayed me,
he roared, and I recoiled, curling tighter.
Rian is in the city. She had to have known about it. She's been helping him all this time. For all I know, she is lying about the child, too, to manipulate me.
Three hells, Danae snapped. Rian de Dragon has been in the city since father died. She had nothing to do with his being here. And it doesn't sound like you have any proof that she's helping him with anything. She isn't lying, and she isn't deceiving you. There was a long pause.
I want Rian de Dragon dead.
I raised my head at this, but Calyx wasn't looking at me. He was looking at Danae, issuing the order.
Then it will be done, she looked at me. But you let your temper get the better of you, Calyx, and you could have killed your wife and child. And you're wrong. I will kill him only when you find a way to make this right with your wife.
Kairos, I stammered, looking at her. Danae frowned. Kairos, is he all right?
My men are questioning him, which they will continue to do.
Calyx snapped.
He may still know something.
I will stop them, Shalia, she told me. I nodded. And Calyx turned toward me. I cringed.
He sighed. I was wrong, he said. Get up.
Leave, I told him, staring at my knees.
Shalia,
he said, coming closer. Please, I said, huddled against the wall, shutting my eyes and wishing it would change what I found when I opened them. Please leave. I knew he was angry, but I didn't care. I didn't look up or move either, so I suppose that belied my bravery. Go, Danae said. You release her brother,
and I will take care of her.
I jumped when I heard the door shut. I felt her shadow on me and heard her moving nearby, but I didn't look up until I felt her hand touch my foot. She was sitting in front of me on the ground, leaning against the wall in the same way I was, reaching out to me. She sighed when I looked up, then stood, getting one of the damp cloths the Ishru had left. She knelt down, touching the cloth to my face, and I winced. It came away bloody, and I stared at it. "There's a cut on your cheek," she said softly. "And it looks like your mouth was bleeding a little, too." She cleaned it, slowly and gently, and I just looked at her, silent. "You're younger than me. Did you know that?" she asked. I shook my head a tiny bit. She nodded. "By more than a year. It's strange. You seem so wise, you know. You're very self-possessed, strong. And I thought when he married you that the better parts of him would prevail." She sighed, rocking back. "This doesn't surprise you," I said. "Calix can be very cruel," she told me, lifting her shoulder and not looking at me. "But he can also be protective and sweet and loving when he's not so very afraid." My eyes shut as my head throbbed. "Will you really kill Rian?" I asked. She put down the cloth, and the pounding pain in my cheek seemed to get worse. "That's what I do, Shalia. Calix tells me to kill someone, and I do. I don't stop until they're dead." Anger made me glare at her. "You have a choice. You don't have to do what he says." "Denae, don't do what he says," I told her. "Please." She sighed. "Calix never wanted this for me, you know," she said. After my parents died, there were many attempts on us, particularly on me, because I was very young and weak then. It got to the point that I was frightened to go places alone. I thought I was being followed. And then someone poisoned us all, and I almost died. I was sent to live in safety, away from court. She leaned against the wall again, watching me. And I didn't want to be helpless. I wanted to be more than a rabbit in a snare. I pressed the cloth to my lip, trying to be calm, trying not to notice the blood building up on the white cloth. "He doesn't deserve your devotion," I told her bitterly. "He does," she said. "Maybe he doesn't deserve yours, but he deserves mine." She looked away from me. "And I don't want to know of a day when he doesn't, because I won't be welcome here. I won't be welcome anywhere in the Trifecta," she told me. "So I have to be useful. But with any luck, Rian's left the city already. If Calix accepted you as you are, everyone else would," I said. She gave a dry, sad laugh. "Calix doesn't mind that I'm a spy or an assassin or whatever else I must be to serve the god. But he'll never forgive finding me kissing another girl when I was 13, she told me, shaking her head. "That's too much to ask." "He loves you," I said. "Why would he care who you kiss?" Her stare was flat, defiant. "The girl was found below the cliffs the next morning, so I think he cares." She shrugged, and I could only imagine how painful the memory was for her. "You don't seem shocked. Is such a thing common in the desert?" I pulled the cloth away, dabbing at my cheek again and looking at it. More red, new patterns. "There's a different ceremony if you choose someone of your own sex. Because you can't have children of your own, you can choose a clan and travel with them. It's not common, but it's not strange." Denae was quiet for many long moments. "In the Trifecta,
People like me are meant to be sacrificed to the three-faced god. Like the Elemente. I reached forward and took her hand. She squeezed mine tight. Is it throbbing? She asked, looking at my cheek. I nodded. I can't stay here, Danae. Tears pushed up behind my eyes, and the pressure made the pain worse. I can't be here. She met my eyes, full of warning. You can't leave, Shalia. Pulling my hand from hers, I shook my head. Please, I have to. I can't stay here. Not right now. The door. Why can't I just go to a city now and wave a bit or whatever it is he wishes me to do? They'll see the bruise, Shalia. As bad as things are, they'll be worse if people know that Calyx hit you. A shiver racked my body, thinking of Kairos's words. Will you find Kairos? I don't believe Calyx that they'll release him. Yes, but Shalia, you can't. The rebels, I told her. He can use me as part of his ridiculous reason to tear his people apart. Tell them I was injured by the rebels. But I will leave in the morning. She stood with a sigh. Well, he'll agree to that. I don't give a damn if he agrees, I told her. She extended a hand to help me up, but I shook my head. She held out her palm for a moment longer and let it drop. I know. But Shalia, if you leave him, if you go to the desert, Cruel will not begin to describe the things he will do to your people. I shuddered. Yes, I know. She walked to the door and I watched her. Vene, I said, and she stopped. Thank you for your help and your honesty. I appreciate both more than you know. She met my gaze. I trust you, Shalia. And that's not a simple thing in this court. She left, and I stayed frozen. Binding. I slept curled against the wall. When I woke to the first blush of dawn, I asked the Ishru to pack things for me and open the door. Zeph, Theron, and Kairos all stood there in the same clothes from the day before, looking haggard and tired.
Great skies,
Kai breathed, touching my chin and turning my face a little. I pushed away from him. I hadn't looked at it yet. I didn't want to look at it. Zeph and Theron looked mournful, and Zeph opened his mouth, but I held up a hand. You should have slept, I told them. We're leaving as soon as we can. Zeph straightened.
Where?
He asked. I don't know. Pick a city that my husband wanted me to tour. It doesn't matter, as long as it isn't here.
Your guard.
Take whatever men you need. I'm sure you can figure that out quickly. Zeph nodded, and when he turned, I saw Adria standing there, her face pale. You're leaving? She said. And then a second later, her eyes fell on my face. My queen, she said, her voice soft and urgent. I heard. I know you didn't get that bruise on your way home yesterday. My eyes widened. I hadn't thought of her, the one person who would notice and know. Adria, I started. But I had no idea what else to say. Kairos took a step forward, standing between us, his hand on his scimitar's hilt. I won't tell, she said quickly, looking between us. Her eyes met mine, deep with meaning, and she continued. If you don't want me to. It's the sort of thing my father would be very interested in hearing, because of how it might build sentiment against your husband among the Vestai. So I won't tell. Unless you want me to. I shook my head.
That didn't seem like a solution. I don't know what I want, but I'd prefer if you didn't help. You should go, Adria. I don't think it would be for the best if Calyx saw you now. She drew a deep breath and nodded.
Shy?
Cairo said, and I turned to him as she walked away, tears filling my eyes as I looked him over. You're all right? I asked. They didn't hurt you?
Not badly.
I covered my mouth.
Shy, I'm fine. You're not,
he said. His voice dropped.
If we're leaving, we should head north, to the desert.
I shook my head. First we leave, then we'll discuss what to do next. His mouth folded down, but he nodded.
Very well.
The Ishru packed in a flurry while I dressed, and from the small room where my clothes were, I heard voices raised. My heart tightened, and I finished dressing, winding a length of purple fabric around my head to make a hood. For as long as I could, I wanted to hide my face and hide the marks that my husband had put there. I opened the door to find my brother leaning casually in the doorframe, facing out, his arms crossed over his chest, standing between me and the rest of the room. Kai? I whispered.
The queen does not wish to...
Zeph was saying, but Calyx tried to push past him and Theron.
I will cut off your hands if you keep me from my wife,
Calyx snarled.
Don't do that,
Kairos murmured, even before I moved around him, fury rising within me. I have had enough of your threats, I yelled at Calyx, standing well behind Zeph and Theron, where I could see him without being close to him. Kairos crossed in front of me like a cat, noting the distance, his hands inching near his scimitar. He was wearing the second one now, something desert men usually only did in war. How dare you fault these men for protecting me when you assaulted me?
Shalia, I need to speak to you without them here,
he told me. Shame and anger made my throat thick around my words. Why? I asked. You don't think they know what you did?
Shalia, you have to see. It's not my fault. It's your family, your damn brother. They come between us at every turn.
Kairos crossed his arms.
Which brother would that be?
He asked.
Both of you,
Calyx snarled back at him. Kairos smiled.
There are more where we came from, you know. All sorts of brothers getting in your way. Imagine what my littlest sister could do.
Calyx's eyes narrowed on him. Is that what you think? I whispered, trembling. You believe that my family made you strike me? Made you hate the Elemente? Made you gouge the eyes out of that guard? Made you... You are cruel, Calyx, I cried. You're cruel. My family had nothing to do with that. You would rather demean and maim and kill people than truly work for peace.
No,
he asked.
Rian has undermined me at every turn. It was him, you know, him who stole her from me. He has always sought to steal what's mine. But you, my wife... I love you despite these things. I love you and our child more than anything. And I was a fool to be blinded by your brother's treachery. Please don't go. Please, let me make this up to you.
I was trembling, but I shook my head.
You're weak and tired, he said. You're not in any condition to be traveling.
I can't look at you, I told him. My voice full of steel and ice. Even the light movement of my cheek burned. I can't stay here. I can't listen to you and these awful things anymore. I can't keep crying because my face is swollen and sore, and I just want to stop hurting so much, Calyx. He didn't say anything, and I looked to Zeph.
Please, I said. We should leave.
He nodded once, and he and Theron shifted so Zeph could lead me out, and Theron could block Calyx.
Shalia!
Calyx shouted, and I flinched away from him. He looked shocked by this, but Kairos put his arm around me, blocking my view of my husband, and shepherded me out. By the time I reached the courtyard, 10 guards, my brother, and my belongings were waiting for me. A saddled horse stood, flicking his tail restlessly, and I hesitated as I got close. Usually I didn't have any problem getting into the saddle, but I felt weak and shaky still. I didn't think my muscles would hold.
Here,
Galen said, appearing from behind me. I jumped, and he glanced at my face and the purple cloth that covered it. But he looked away before he could have truly seen beneath the hood. He knitted his fingers together and held them out. My heart beat faster as I watched him, but he didn't lift his eyes to me, just staring at my foot, which wasn't moving toward his hand. He cleared his throat, and I raised my foot, putting it into his hands. I grabbed the saddle, and he pushed me up, raising me high and fast so I could mount the horse.
Thank you, I said, my heart racing.
He nodded sharply and went toward another horse.
Kairos saw Calyx before I did, and he moved his horse between me and the wide entrance to the castle.
Osmos leaped off Kairos's shoulder to take to the sky, like he was as ready to defend me as my brother was. Standing in the archway in his black clothing, Calyx looked small and insignificant, like an insect. But I couldn't help the shiver within me.
I will give you 2 days, wife,
he called.
If you don't return before that, I will bring you back. It will take longer,
Galen said, walking toward him,
standing at the bottom of the walkway. We're going to Trizala.
I blinked, looking at him. He was coming with us? Calyx came slowly down the walkway, and I felt every step closer to me like a growing threat.
Pick another city. She'll like Trizala,
Galen said.
We'll be back in 3 days at the earliest.
Calyx glared at his brother.
Fine. Oh, and Calyx,
Galen said, closing the several feet between them. Calyx looked at him, and Galen drew his arm back, launching his fist into his brother's jaw. Calyx stumbled back, and Galen turned away, shaking out his fist as he went to his horse and mounted it. Calyx straightened and watched me as he wiped blood from his mouth.
I love you, wife. Don't forget that.
I turned away. Galen called for the gates to be opened, and he led us out. Guards ahead of me and behind, and Zeph and Theron both exhausted on either side of me. We rode through the city, Galen keeping a slow pace as we passed the few people, who all shied away from the sight of so many men. It wasn't long before the cluster of the city faded into farmland, and the road was wider, and we still rode slowly.
Is there a reason we're going so slow? I asked Zeph.
Osmos was making lazy circles in the sky, searching for prey, lacking a challenge. Zeph's jaw rolled a bit.
I believe out of concern for your health, my queen.
I pushed my shoulders back. Then if it's out of concern for me, we can go much, much faster, I told him.
My queen,
he started. But I wheeled my horse to the side of the column and spurred the stallion onward. Every jarring hammer of the horse's hooves felt like power, like strength, like something solid and whole.
My heart beat stronger with the effort,
and I craved it just to remember what it felt like to have my heart race with something other than fear. My horse thundered past Galen at the start of the column, and I didn't look at him as I went charging onward. My horse seemed desperate to run, as desperate to stretch his legs as I was to feel that freedom,
And he kept on, strong and powerful. I heard another horse, and I turned to see Galen riding hard to catch me, a stormy look on his face. I turned forward, urging my horse on faster, delaying his angry lecture as long as I could. Galen's horse was bigger and faster, and he caught up to me. I expected him to take the reins from me, to yell at me to stop, something. It never came, and he rode beside me, galloping along the country road, until I was heaving for breath, my chest burning for air, my muscles bright and sore, like I was finally alive, finally awake. I kept on, even as it hurt and burned, even as I felt every harsh breath like it was fanning the pain in my cheek, my blood rushing doubly hard there. I only slowed when Galen fell behind. I drew the reins of my horse gently and eased out of his gallop. Galen caught up, coming astride me as my horse began to walk.
"Three hells," he said, smiling at me as he panted hard.
Emotions flooded in with that one rare smile. My heart was still pounding. It rushed with something hot and dizzying, but like a physical reminder of the things that kept us apart. When I tried to smile back, the pain forced the look from my face. My hood had blown back, and he saw how I couldn't smile, and his eyes rested on my cheek. I broke his gaze, looking behind us to where Zeph and Theron were ahead of the others, but still struggling to catch up. I tugged the hood back up, making sure it covered my face.
"I didn't know you could ride like that,"
Galen said, facing forward. "I'm not terribly good at it," I told him. Another smile came to his face, and I wanted to pluck this off, treasure it, collect his smiles from him.
"I've never met a woman who wanted to ride so damn fast," he said with a laugh.
"I can't stand sitting about," I told him.
"Which must be why you walk,"
he said, nodding. "I walk for an hour each day, maybe even less," I told him. "In the desert, we'd walk for whole days in the hot sun, to go somewhere, for food, water, shelter, for a purpose. There's no purpose here." He was watching me, I could feel it, but I didn't turn to him.
"It's half the reason I like fighting,"
he said.
"The practice. Hours a day, moving, hitting, running. Sweating until your heart is pounding,"
he said, placing his hand on his chest. I couldn't help it. I looked at the hand, his broad chest rising under it. I nodded.
"Court is a little useless,"
he admitted. "I thought I would have a purpose," I confessed. "I wanted being queen to be about something more than just being his wife. And I understood when I arrived that perhaps I could have that, but only if I fought for it. I'm not afraid of that." He glanced at me.
"You've done tremendous things, Shalia."
I shook my head. "That is not the word for them. I've done things, things I am proud of. But I don't know that they've made any difference. I keep waiting for the sands to shift, and I thought that this child would be the change we needed. And then he lied to me and killed yet more people and did this." He stayed silent, listening to me. Maybe I was wrong. His eyebrow rose.
"About what?"
"About telling Rian that his resistance was foolish. About trying to change Calix. About believing that this country could be saved through peace." I sighed.
"At least that last one was safe enough to be repeated."
"About believing peace is even possible." His mouth pursed and he nodded.
"I spent a lot of time reading as a child,"
he told me. "I tried to imagine the battle-hard warrior with his broken nose in a book."
"Histories, mostly. Of war and such."
His shoulders lifted.
I was meant to be the military commander from a very young age. It seemed wise. But there have been many rebellions, followed by many wars. In the history of our country and others, the Trifectate started as a rebellion of a small group of people who were thought at the time to be religious fanatics. When there is a rebellion, no party comes out unscathed. The whole country bears a scar so deep that no one in that generation comes out the victor. Not truly. They've lost so much, even if they won the conflict, that it ceases to matter. Perhaps the next. Perhaps the children, the survivor's sire, will have the chance to know prosperity in their lifetime.
He was silent for a long time, our horses gently clopping along in tandem.
I know every man in the army. They've all crossed my path at least once. If I choose to believe that peace is impossible, I have to be willing to see every one of those men die.
He looked at me, and the green was bright, catching the light of the sun.
Your costs are different, but no less high.
My hands settled on my stomach, and I thought of all the people I would watch Calix in danger over the life of our marriage.
I thought, too, of the people who he would punish if I never returned to the Tri-City. Either way, there was blood.
I shut my eyes.
Why is it so important to go to the desert?
Kaelin asked.
With the baby, I mean.
I felt my cheeks flush. I'm surprised that Calix took it seriously enough to mention it. He dismissed it when I brought it up.
He stayed silent, his stony face impassive,
and I wondered if Calix had passed it on the same way. It's a blessing, I said after a moment. The clans, we're nomadic people. We travel the desert for weeks, months at a time. But when there's a new clan member, they need to know the way back to Jitra. They need to be able to find their feet and find their heart. So we journey to Jitra, and before they're even born, they're blessed in the water there, with all the clan around, so they will know family and home and love. No matter where sands and stone take them, they will know these things.
He cleared his throat and nodded.
That would be a beautiful thing to give any child.
I sighed. He won't consider it. He knows it's important to me, and he won't consider it. His mouth opened, and it closed again, and he squinted into the distance. Several moments later, he didn't turn to me, but he asked,
"Do you love him?"
Hate rushed to my face, but I wasn't sure why. It seemed like such an easy question, but it wasn't a simple answer. "Sometimes I think I cursed myself," I admitted. "I saw Calix in Jitra before the wedding, and he was so handsome. I wished..." My embarrassment, my foolishness choked my words. "I wished for him. For him to be my husband, because I thought it was that easy. I would marry a handsome king and love him. Why would I not? I've never met a married couple who are not at least tremendous friends, if not deeply in love. And I thought it would feel powerful and overwhelming, like a sandstorm." I flushed, thinking of the jolt in the earth when Kaelin removed my veil. And then I understood that I had only a sheltered young girl's idea of love. And more likely, love is something that grows between two people. And there are moments when he's kind to me or thoughtful, and I feel something like hope. But I hate those moments more than any other, because they mean that I am beginning to mistake the absence of cruelty for love. His throat worked, and he looked down and back up again.
"You know the difference," he said. "You can't possibly care about people the way you do and not understand what it means to be truly loved in return."
I laughed, embarrassed by his warm words. "I don't know, but I do believe that my parents are very lucky," They love each other so very much.
Was their marriage arranged?
He asked. Of sorts, I said.
My father was about to become the leader of the dragon, and he wanted to marry. There were only so many suitable women across the Falcos or the Scorpios, and my mother was the sister of the man who would become the Falcon.
So the position is passed from father to son?
He asked. No, I said. Well, in a manner. The clan leader will groom someone for the position. Often it is a child of theirs, but not always. The clan leader must be the strongest, the most fit to lead. It doesn't happen often, but if need be, the leader will select someone outside his family. I smiled. So I suppose you could say their marriage was arranged.
So was there ever someone else?
Kaelin asked, and his mouth teased at a smile. For my parents? I asked, horrified. No, they loved each other from the start. He laughed, and it was unexpected.
For you, he said. Surely you can't have grown up thinking you'd marry Calix. What plans did you have for your life?
I thought I'd be just like my mother, I admitted. There's a Scorpios boy around my age, Alexo. He was being groomed, and my brothers had met him and said he would be a good leader. I figured that was all there was to it. He would be my husband, and as soon as he removed my veil, we would fall wildly in love and have 7 children. Even I had to laugh at how that sounded now, and Galen chuckled with me. The laugh stung my cheek, and I sobered. How life has changed in a few short months, I said. But he had caught the bit of information I had accidentally betrayed.
Your husband is meant to remove the veil?
He asked. Blood rushed into my face, pounding beneath the bruise. Yes, I said, glancing at him. He met my eyes.
No one told us that.
They wouldn't have, I said. Certainly not after it happened. The unveiling is supposed to be a spiritual connection, a binding, some higher power. It's supposed to be the husband who unveils his wife, revealing her to him. The start of their life together. The forging of their bond. I gave him a sad smile.
And I unveiled you,
he said, his voice low.
Not my brother.
His eyes met mine. They looked bright and unnaturally green, regarding me in a way that made my skin tingle and shiver. The sensation as delicious as it was dangerous. I tore my eyes away from him. I shouldn't have told you that.
No,
he said, and I glanced back to him. He was gazing ahead, sitting straighter, with a ghost of a smug smile on his face.
I'm glad you did.
Trizala. With another stretch of breathless galloping in the afternoon, we made Trizala well after nightfall. I almost regretted my fast rides that brought us to this strange new city without the light to see by. Galen said we were getting close when the road rose steeply, the horses slowly climbing switchbacks cut into a mountain. It was dark, and the growing height made me uneasy, but Galen seemed confident and sure, and I followed close behind him. After another turn, Galen stopped as we faced a wall, a stone gate bridged right over the road.
"Open the gate for the trifected queen,"
he bellowed.
"Open the gate,"
someone called back. Without seeing us, the gate slowly rose until we could pass easily with our horses, and Galen ducked his head and rode into the dark shadow. I followed him, holding my breath. A torch illuminated the dark area, and the man holding it bowed. Galen nodded to him without saying anything and rode on. The city was built into the mountain, houses balanced along the road, which continued in switchbacks up the mountain. As we continued higher, the houses were more elaborate and huge, carved into the rock itself.
It's like Jitra,
I marveled. I never knew there was another city like this. Galen turned around, one side of his mouth winging upward.
I thought you'd like it. I figured you'd feel safe here.
He turned around front, and it took me a moment to spur my horse to follow him. Perhaps I was just starved for affection, but his thoughtfulness touched my heart.
We kept going until we crested the mountain.
At the top, there was a great flat space carved out between the mountains, and it was lit with 100 torches. People were gathered there. A man who I guessed was a Vestai and his family, and I dismounted, taking in the grand spectacle of it. Peering off the edge into the night, I could only get a rough sense of the sweep and beauty of this view. It felt like a rich, dark mystery, full of promise.
Definitely crafted by Elemente,
Cairo said, coming up behind me.
Maybe you're not the first Elementa from the desert, you know. Jitra would make a lot more sense.
I looked at the rocks. Maybe, I whispered back. He put his hands on my shoulders.
How are you feeling?
Leaning against him, I smiled the small bit that my bruise would allow. Free, I told him.
Like a good brother, he didn't remind me that was a lie. Even as his hawk wheeled around us and dove for something in the dark, the only creature here that was really free to do as he pleased.
Kairos just rubbed warmth into my shoulders and stood behind me. Vestai Nyken brought us to a stronghold tucked into the mountains. The rooms were all carved stone, cool and dark, and walking into them I felt my power bubbling around me. Not triggered or pulled. Nothing to do with me, just pre-existing and natural. Zeph and Theron went into my chamber while I waited in the hall. Galen stood across from me, close enough that our feet were nearly touching, and Kai wandered up and down the hall, restless, looking at everything.
What will we do here? I asked, glancing around. In my rush to leave, I hadn't thought what I would actually be doing.
Whatever you wish,
Galen told me.
I would recommend addressing the people at some point. The Sai Nyken is planning a feast in your honor tomorrow night.
I nodded. Thank you, I told him. Galen didn't look at me.
Of course.
Zeph emerged and nodded, Theron coming out a moment behind him.
Secure?
Galen asked.
Yes, sir. My queen,
Zeph said, gesturing me into the room. You're not going to stay here, are you? I asked them.
Kairos and I will sleep next door,
Galen told me.
But yes, they will absolutely stay here.
They haven't slept, and they've been riding all day. Can't one of the others stay here? I asked.
Theron will sleep, and I will watch over you, my queen,
Zeph told me.
I'll be fine waiting until tomorrow.
But you won't be sharp, Cairo said. I'll stay the night, and then I'll sleep during the day tomorrow while Shai performs whatever queenly duties she must.
Zeph frowned.
Very well,
Galen said.
Just for tonight.
Cairo stepped closer to my door, and the muscles of Zeph's arms tightened.
My queen,
he said, looking at the ground.
I won't offer you an apology. I don't deserve your forgiveness, and you shouldn't give it to me. But please know that I will regret failing you for the rest of my days,
he said. There's nothing to forgive, I told him. You couldn't have changed anything that happened yesterday.
My queen,
Theron started. I held up a hand. I grew up with 6 brothers, 5 of whom were older than me.
I'm aware,
Cairo said dryly. I gave him a look. I understand that I'm bruised, and that you all care very much about my safety and health. You care about chivalry and what a woman may or may not deserve. and I treasure that. Your concern means a great deal to me. But your guilt isn't about me or my body or my pain. It's about Calix, and it's about you seeing me as a thing that needs to be protected. Like I shattered when he hit me. They all looked at me as my voice failed me for a moment, and I pressed my lips together, trying to stop more unwanted emotions from rushing out. I don't want to feel broken. I don't want to give him that power. Calix did not, and will never, break me. So don't apologize. And if you must feel guilty, then share that with someone other than me. Do you understand? They all nodded grimly. I hope this is the last we have to discuss it, I told them. Zeph nodded, nudging the others away. He, at least, understood when he was dismissed. Galen glanced at me and turned away, following my guards. Cairo slipped inside my room before I could shut the door. I shut it behind him with a sigh. He went to the windows, gazing out into the darkness, looking at the windows themselves.
Well, he said, we should be able to get pretty far before they realize you're gone.
He turned back to me.
If we're leaving.
Drawing a breath, I shook my head slowly. We can't leave, Kairos. Or I can't leave. But I think you should go back to the desert.
He snorted. Like hell, he said. Why would I ever leave you alone after all that's happened?
Because he won't hurt me the way he'll hurt you, I said, squeezing my hands together, trying to stop the trembles that came anyway.
I swore a promise, he said, crossing his arms. I'll make him regret what he's done to you.
No, I said, looking at him. No. This, I said, fingering the bruise on my face, is a distraction. Yesterday, Calix proved that he's not interested in peace. Maybe he's interested in submission. Maybe he wants war. Maybe he doesn't care. But I still want peace, Kairos. He lifted his shoulders.
How can you get it if he doesn't want it?
That's what I need to figure out. But it is not so simple as running back to the desert, or anywhere, when he still has men there. We cannot risk more lives. I looked out the window, into the dark that was dotted with torchlight in a strange pattern. The greater question is whether peace can ever be achieved with Calix as king. He drew a long breath.
Rian believes it can't.
I tucked my hands around myself, rubbing warmth into my arms. And if I believe that, then it would make sense to join Rian, to help the resistance. Kairos's eyes flicked to the wall, reminding me that my guards were likely next door, not to mention my husband's brother.
Have you considered other options?
I looked to him. Such as?
Waiting until your child is born, and then removing Calix.
I shuddered, shaking my head. He looked at me, and he appeared so much older suddenly.
None of these options will let him live, Shalia. If he lives, then there will be no peace.
I thought of Galen, of seeing every face of every soldier and choosing their deaths and calling it peace.
Besides, you may not have that long, Cairo said. Your power is growing stronger. It seems like it's harder for you to control it. If he ever sees it, baby or not, your choices, if not your life, will be taken away.
I nodded. I know.
The desert can repel the trifected men who are there. It would only take a note from Osmost, and it would be done. We could run right now.
I shook my head. No, it's rash and it's risky. Besides, Galen and the Sapia will pay the price for it. I won't bring that on their heads after all they've done for me. I need more time to think. That's why we came here, I told him. His mouth drew tight, but he didn't disagree with me.
Very well.
Do you know if Rian is safe? I asked.
He shook his head. No.